This is the Zodiac Degrees podcast. I'm Greta Lee. Today's degree is the 12th degree of Capricorn. And we're looking at this degree because Venus is going direct at 11 degrees, 5 minutes of Capricorn, which in ordinal numbers is the 12th degree of Capricorn. And that's happening at 3:46 a.m. on Eastern Standard Time on January 29th, 2022. So let's look at this image from the Astrolabium Planum by Johannes Angelus. And it's this guy, it's a figure, and he's lunging with one arm outstretched, sort of like maybe he's running away or he's reaching for something. The William Lilly translation of the caption is, it says, in the 12th degree ascends a man running swiftly. It denotes a swift person. Okay, so a fast running man. The Sabian symbol, according to Dr. Mark Edmund Jones, is a student of nature lecturing. And his interpretation is experience where man achieves his greater opportunities, vicarious or intellectual side of an individual, participating in events and shares meaning in the mind's eye alone. Thinking about VR there, virtual reality. Life gains illimitability as the individual discovers he can master its endless facets through ever-expanding facilities of reason. And the key word here is explanation. Positive traits are self-consciousness through the acquisition of knowledge, effective self-direction through the practical application of all values. And the negative connotation here could be psychological smugness. So, it doesn't seem like very much connection between the Sabian symbol and the image. I mean, I guess you could think of a quick thinker, and a quick runner would be the similar. Okay, Dane Rudyar in the Astrology of Personality has his version of the Sabian symbol is natural wonders depicted in a lecture on science. Okay, and so a little bit more of the focus of the natural wonders than the lecturing, but there's still, it doesn't say student, but yeah, that's different too. And it says, piercing through appearances, disclosing the magic splendor of the core of things, a universal living touch and keen vision. And Dane Rudyar in the Astrological Mandala, this cycle of transformation and its 36 symbolic phases, develops the Sabian symbol to read, an illustrated lecture on natural science reveals little known aspects of life. And the keynote here is the ability to explore unfamiliar realms and discover the laws underlying the complex processes of nature. So this covers the interpretation is the acquisition of extensive knowledge, the satisfaction of intellectual curiosity, the aristocracy of science, and its use of acquired knowledge, which can pose as many problems as the use of hereditary aristocratic wealth. Hierarchies in knowledge and science and hierarchies in wealth. Yeah, thinking of, for instance, the medical system set up in the United States, right? There's people who, have the formulas to certain life-saving drugs, vaccines, even things that were once cheap like insulin, and creating this hierarchy. So through patents and all these legal hoops people have to jump through, not everybody in the world gets these things. There's it's almost as has as many barriers as old-fashioned aristocracy does. And that says, but a man's essential function is to become fully conscious of all life forms and processes on this earth. Mankind is the conscious mind of the planet. The intellectual search for empirical knowledge contrasts with the display attendant to the wealth and culture of an elite. I mean, perhaps. I don't know if I agree with that. The intellectual search for empirical knowledge can also go hand in hand with the wealth and culture of an elite, although it can challenge certain authorities and hierarchies. And it says, civilization is founded on an ever-extended capitalization on knowledge and abuse of technology. And the key word here is exploitation. Dr. Mark Edmund Jones' keyword is explanation, but then Dane Rudyar is exploitation, which brings more of like a use value and trying to get something from the knowledge. Okay. Linda Hill, The Sabian Symbols as an Oracle, says, a student of nature, revealing little known aspects of life. And it says, someone who's studied the lessons of life teaches us. And this is giving this knowledge to others to learn and benefit from. Modern thinking is often disconnected from nature, and it goes hand in hand with the disappearance and loss of the more holistic structure of life. People listening to the student may be in awe of how much the student knows, but the student may have learned a lot, yet is just sharing rudimentary insights. I think that's interesting. Sometimes, like, I mean, if you probably study astrology, if you're listening to this, and sometimes you can just tell someone something really basic about like their moon sign, and that's, you know, awe-inspiring to certain people or just the thing they needed to hear. But also, like, it's not just like sharing simple knowledge is always just, you know, to rubes who haven't heard it, and it's impressive to people who don't know, but just knowing when to pull out that simple fact and like who needs to hear it when and where, I think is its own little skill. Side knowledge. We have forgotten or never learned some important things about life. It is by connecting with nature that we can redress this imbalance. Too much weight is given to technology, to the needs of modern society. It may be time to seek an alternative viewpoint. We don't have to research everything personally. Seek specialists. They have done footwork to gather relevant information. We can use the tools of intellectualism that have disconnected us from the world in order to reconnect our awareness. This is interesting. It's like addressing this disconnection, but then sort of reorienting yourself to the methods of this disconnection to become reconnected. I like that. It's like there's sort of like a poison or a medicine in how you use this like lecturing and intellectual knowledge. It also says, it may be that nobody cares what the student says. How is the message delivered? Do listeners really want to know about it? You could be the example to others of someone who understands the wonder of many things. Practical certifications and applications of knowledge may or may not matter. Revealing the truth may lead to wonder and awe, but it can also lead to disbelief. Yeah, like the audience may be like, we don't need no book learning here. Or also, I mean, if it might not be convincing, if, you know, the student may not be making a good appeal to this audience and can be lecturing poorly, right? And like presenting information out of context or out of any sort of reason why they would need to know the information, right? They just giving like out of context, irrelevant, you know, facts. Okay. It says, observe what's around you and translate it for others to enjoy. Also, this could be about green politics. Yes, studying nature and presenting, yeah, the data, revaluing things and issues that are more, that the more conservative don't want revealed. Nature and natural remedies, science and rewards or drawbacks, issues such as global warming, right? So there's plenty of evidence for global warming that's been presented again and again, and lots of people are very hostile or indifferent, right, to the information. Or, yeah, and that hierarchy of how this information is delivered, it's like if you're watching, you know, a television special and the sponsor is like, you know, ExxonMobil, there's going to be censorship on what, you know, what there is to say or things like that. Caution. The caution to this is radical non-humanistic views, intellectual smugness, lecturing and browbeating, modern technological advances that stifle the environment. And a few quotes that she offers, or a selection from the quotes, are, it is not easy to describe the sea with the mouth. Koi Q. Also, the sun, with all the planets revolving around it, and depending on it, can still ripen a bunch of grapes as though it had nothing else in the universe to do. That's a Galileo. And also, nature uses human imaginations to lift her work of creating to even higher levels. And that's Luigi Pirandello. And if you would thoroughly know anything, teach it to others. Tryon Edwards. All right. Charable, the degree of the zodiac symbolized, says a spacious park with a baronial mansion in the background. Okay, this is, I mean, I suppose that's kind of natural, but it seems more man-made. It says, denotes much. Ancestors of this native were of the highest order. Large possessions belong to the native. It is possible others are enjoying those, while the native lives in poverty. Advisable for those with this degree on the ascendant to look into that. Wow. So it seems like there's some sort of like lost royalty story here, like Anastasia or Harry Potter or even like Macbeth sort of stories. But there's also this sort of the lost aristocracy or lost wealth. Seems like it also has this theme that's similar to this sort of scientific elite or intellectual elite challenging this like old aristocracy or older, more conservative power base or hierarchy. So, and which is like in, you know, there's definitely people with inheritances and money and advantages in academia. But for the most part, I would say most people doing the most groundbreaking work, I mean, that's a lot of work, right? So if you're born into complete comfort, you're probably possibly not doing the most groundbreaking work. And if you are, you don't need a job at a college. You, like someone like A.B. Warburg, who is independently wealthy, banking family, did groundbreaking work outside the academy. Because if you had the money to fund your own research, why would you accept limitations, right? So anyway, just thoughts there. Okay, let's move to Sepharial, the degrees of the zodiac symbolized. It says a fox running apace in the moonlight. Yeah, so here, another running image here. It says a person given to acts of subtlety and craftiness and disposed to live a predatory life, relying on fortunes of chance, aided by skill and cunning for a livelihood, considerable zeal in pursuit of his designs, much secrecy required to conduct his affairs, cruel and crafty, will depend on activity and industry of others. Eventually will be in danger of excommunication, exile, or imprisonment. May have to fly the country. Craftiness. Wow. So it's a pretty negative read, but there's themes of, you know, someone who's quick-witted may be, you know, a fast thinker for a reason, right? They're not just idly pondering philosophy. They need to be quick on their feet, right? And quick with their thoughts. And this idea of running away from something, have to fly the country. There's this danger. That's cool. Or, I mean, interesting. Isidore Kosminski, Zodiacal Symbology and Its Planetary Power. A man in full armor, visor up, holding his two hands on the hilt of his sword, the point of which pierces the ground. And it says, courage, self-confidence often meets danger or anxiety face to face. Ever prepared to repel its sword, always ready. Knows power of spirit above all material force. And the keyword is striving. So there's, you know, it's interesting, some books in the 20th century, there's a lot more knight and armor imagery in like the early 20th century and 19th century. I think those sort of myths were maybe more prominent then, even though I still love hearing about, you know, medieval knights to some degree. They're very interesting. I just think there's a lot more variety of allegories available, but that still with the striving is like, has like a quickness, and that danger and anxiety is seems related to the fox running in the moonlight. Anxiety, which I feel like I like and correlate with like a faster pace of your heart, just like you're running or, you know, sweating a little bit, that sort of fast pulse. Okay, Helene and Willem Kappian, The Zodiac Image Handbook. And it says, in the light of a full moon, a dog, incited by his master on the right, chases a fox, which, having a head start, is gaining ground. Okay, elaboration on the safarial image. But again, the running, you know, definitely can connect this back to the Astrolabium Planum as well, because it's just this running. The interpretation is velocity, an impression of speed. Ascendant on this degree gives a quick impression. Excel at running, riding, or hunting. Likes risky undertakings, an active spirit, rapid decisions, especially on the attack. A fox is subtle, sly, and cunning. They have other people do their dirty work for them, and they treat their deputies like dogs. I think this is connected to the safarial interpretation too now, like depending on activity and industry of others. That's what safarial says, and this is, you know, having other people do work for them. If these people are good, they are like policemen or detectives in pursuit of terrorists and perpetrators that shun daylight. I'm thinking of like Batman or something, like, or like some quick like superhero. Searchers in archives, researchers, genealogies. So here's that more like detective work, that fast thinking, putting two and two together, going through the research. It also says guardians of the treasures in a museum. Also, exaltation, nervousness, and lack of time to look up into the sky and contemplate the heavens. Right, that exaltation, thinking of like Mars exalted here, and that how that energy can just rise and rise and rise and rise, and the Saturn ruled sign of Capricorn can kind of keep it in a box, but maybe, you know, keep it like under wraps, but in an interior way, there might be like a boiling anxiety that doesn't really show on the outside. And also this idea of like looking up at the sky and contemplating the heavens is like the opposite of this like downcast Saturnian eyes, busy with obligation. So this is someone who doesn't take the time to look up in this Jupiterian way with like wonder and beauty and an open mind. They live in a dream state / not aware. They are easy victims to negative forces. They call up negative forces with their exalted emotions, not under their control. They are caught by fate, physical or mental imprisonment or exile, excluded from undertakings, even ones they initiate, excluded from desired relationships and partnerships. Lots of energy. They need to guard and direct this energy so they can control their inner and outer situations in life. I like the thought of like inner situation. They may be excellent at training police dogs for rescue work. I'm thinking of like working dogs of any sort, like maybe like training service animals for like the blind or, you know, any type of service animal, or like with like sheep dogs. I don't know. Thinking there's probably like a great array of working animals as well, like horses and donkeys and stuff like that. And says, may develop psychic ability to do rescue work on inner planes, preferably in their sleep state at night. For this, they need to forego outward objectives, attain a meditative purity, need to discern the goodness of humanity rather than falling into vice and transgressing the laws of nature. Interesting. Here's like, there's no mention of nature in this image, but there is in the next. So their secondary image is natural wonders depicted in electron science. And it says a possible offense against nature's law in the first image is transmuted here. Yeah, this natural, I mean, thinking of when they're talking about like a slideshow of like nature's science and nature, I'm just like picturing like, you know, oh, here's like a geyser and here's a cliff and here's the ocean and different like beautiful parts of the world, interesting like rock formations and water bodies of water. And but like thinking of natural in its own right, like how you most often hear it, it's like it's just such an annoying word or like a horrible word, because it's like this like empty marketing term for like all natural food, which kind of means nothing a lot of times and doesn't have any like legal bearing, because all natural food can still have like tons of like horrible sort of quote-unquote unnatural amounts of like salt and other flavorings that aren't necessarily good for you. And also just like whenever someone like argues about what's natural, it's like usually this like veiled morality appeal, like, you know, like for gender roles, like what, you know, women are naturally nurturers or something. And it's like, yeah, that's completely like a social construct. I'm not like a whole like everything's a social construct type of thinker. I think that can get a little bit extreme and a little bit, it's just been overwrought in recent years of every sort of action is a social contract. I don't like that, but the natural argument is, it's just a red flag for like a weak argument and like bias, but I'm biased and I'm probably making a weak argument. So what do I know? Anyway, okay. Back to Capillon. It says, what can the wonders of nature teach us? Detecting deeper layers of the microcosmos, minute detail, everything growing on Earth. One great miracle and cosmic silence. Agitation has no place here. That's like interesting too, thinking of like someone with a nervous mind or can't like settle their mind or physically settle them. It's like, well, put that anxiousness to use and like going out in nature, taking a hike, studying the plants, and that will calm you down. Elsa says, self-control is necessary to grasp and impart to others the complexity of our links to all nature. There's a need of knowledge of cosmography, and especially need to make a study of the moon. Okay, Adriano Corelli, The 360 Degrees of the Zodiac. It says, a knack of getting work done in a lively and nimble rhythm. Again, here with the speed. It says, without a hint of routine, a harmonious sense of time and space, a brisk activity, a springy energy, great, perhaps excessive reserve, a depth of feeling tinged with melancholy, loves life in the open, is fond of trees, worships the quiet of the countryside, adores walking across the moonlit fields. So here we have the safarial and then the countryside with the features of nature. It says, though unaware of it, a dash of gentle blood runs through his veins. There's like that charitable, that like lost aristocracy, which I'm wondering if it could be sort of a metaphor, but it can sort of be literal, perhaps. And says, on the reverse, if blighted by pointers of unfairness elsewhere, realism may induce unscrupulousness. Ah, okay, so that's like that safarial degree, the deft hands become crafty, slick, and thievish. The sense of time and space becomes a skill of trespassing and getting into close shaves with the law. Those romantic feelings do not bar lustfulness. Reserve may be warped into sharing crime and secrecy and putting up a poker face before justice. Wow, sharing crime and secrecy. That sounds like secret sexual transgressions. Sounds like fun. It says cruel people may be born under this degree. And it says voluntary exile meant to foil justice. Right, just think of like escaping to a foreign country or a different state without extradition agreements, or even just like some people having this like a romantic fallout that's so bad they just kind of leave town or something. Or yeah, some people like, well, or they'll just get divorced and they'll be like, I want to start over in a, you know, I'm going to move to a different city or a different, you know, state or something. It says flight, attempted evasion, jail, excommunication. This running away thing is losing one's inheritance through a usurper. The native may fail to own his own birthright. Wow, I'm imagining someone whose like family had to flee their home country for political or ideological reasons, and then they're like raised as an immigrant somewhere else, and then they're unaware of the prominent position their family like should have had in their home country, even if it wasn't like they should have been the king or the president. They were still like a prominent family in the like, you know, in the cloth making community or something, you know, or like the prominent in the local like dance community or whatever it was that they were somehow important and then had to leave and kind of lost all those connections, which is, I feel like, kind of common and kind of like a perennial story in like human, you know, human experience where, you know, families build up and people build connections and then that stuff only lasts so long. And, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why people can have to leave. You know, even the whole countries and towns, you know, like say, like look at Detroit, you know, that someone's like family could have been like high up in, you know, General Motors in, you know, 1948. And then now they're, you know, living somewhere else and had no idea the lost sort of kingdom of, you know, Detroit or something. Anyway, okay, going on too long. Gerald L. Keane, Practical Astrology, says metric denotes one whose life and work has something to do with patterns and repetition. Oh, that's like the lively, noble rhythm described in Corelli. Huh. Okay. Interesting. And E.C. Matthews, fixed stars and degrees of the zodiac analyzed. Retentiveness. Okay. I can't, like, almost can't hear this word without thinking anal retentive in like a Freudian sense. Not sure if that applies here. I won't go there right now, I guess. Can memorize almost anything. Memorization is like a pretty interesting skill when someone's like really good at memorizing things. Like thinking of like actors who can just memorize tons of script, or like phonetically memorize like speech in languages they don't understand and just like regurgitate it. And it says an uneducated man with this degree ascending could memorize the numbers on a whole string of boxcars. Huh, okay. Donna Walter Henson, degrees of the zodiac. This is alcoholism. Okay, nowhere else in these sources does it say alcoholism, but I wonder where that comes from. It says religion, can memorize almost anything. Seclusion, which seems like that excommunication, jail, running from it. That says highly occult and right knee joint. Okay. Esther Leinbach, degrees of the zodiac. And it says ability to stay ahead, yet in perfect tune with those around him. Ability to hold a group together and lend subtle direction. So like Saturnian authority, this like understated type of leadership, rather than the solar Leo figurehead type leader. Near perfect ability to keep secrets, hold what they believe and know to be true apart from what they display. Makes use of the secret knowledge in a way that proves useful in interactions with people. An uncanny ability to get people to conform without any obvious pressure. They get away with the most outlandish use of people, discarding them when they are done. Amazingly, none of their actions seems to betray them. It's the whole thing of like using people or getting people to do their work for you. I'm also thinking of like someone who's quick-witted, like thinking of like Tom Sawyer, right? Getting other boys to like do his chores for him and like whitewash the fence, or just also thinking of like a knowledge worker of today who uses people like uses like exploited laborers to go shopping for them for like Instacart or something, and like, or uses like Uber drivers and stuff like that. Of course, I've like used Uber before, so I would fall into this, and it's hard to say, you know, we all live, quote unquote, live in a society, so there's all these services out there, but there are people who are sort of like incapable of like making their own coffee and like doing their own laundry and like sort of never have some sort of like email job, right, that like pays a ridiculous amount. I'm just thinking of like this sort of using people that in a way that's not sort of like totally pathological and legal, and is more kind of relatable in the banality of evil every day. I mean, even if you think like most of our clothes are available that are affordable are like sweatshop clothes, right? And we're just sort of like using the global South and using all that labor to be able to have like a fresh outfits every so often, for, you know, which is a sort of, yeah, it's just like greater systemic problems, but even still. Okay. Leinbach says, everything fits together in a logical way, so they're never blamed for the failures they left behind. Wow. That seems like such an amazing skill. Like, I mean, it's kind of like Reagan, right? The Teflon president or something. Makes use of people's strengths and weaknesses. Seems like a good quality of leadership. If someone is left behind, it looks like that person's fault for being weak, for weakness and their abilities, right? I mean, that's, I feel like whenever someone gets fired, I mean, sometimes like from a job or something, there's a way that the person who fired it is like, really, they gave me no choice. It's their fault. And maybe that's correct, but maybe there's a second side to that story, right? It says their actions simply contribute to individuals receiving what they deserve. Well, so there's like that Saturnian doling out of karmic punishments, and some people are put into more Saturnian roles in life, and they are just have more Saturnian, if you have several planets in Capricorn and or Aquarius, you're more Saturnian and you will be put into that like role. Okay, Martin Goldsmith, the Zodiac Degrees. At a party, a rakishly dressed man is chatting up an attractive girl who belongs to a completely different crowd. The girl is not very encouraging, but he continues undeterred. So it says, knowing what one wants and going after it, regardless of personal handicaps or early rebuffs, focusing on the task at hand, dithering indecisiveness, potency of action versus ineffectuality, proving something to others versus proving something to oneself, a strong desire to succeed, sexual adventures. So I'm thinking there was Leinbach, Corelli, Safariel, all talked about using people, right? So this is more this, I'm also thinking of someone who's like fast isn't to say they're like, you know, they are going to have sex on a first date or whatever is, you know, fast in your book. I mean, I think it's all contextual, but someone who kind of is manipulatively like moving a relationship so fast, right? Like, you know, even in platonic sense, you know, you can meet someone there. They're all of a sudden your best friend and blah, blah, blah. And you're so close and you're sharing secrets and stuff. And it's just like, you know, that stuff happens sometimes. It's really fun. But sometimes it's like, why is this person like so up in my grill so fast? What are they trying to get, right? They're trying to use me or get to something or whatever. Okay, back to Goldsmith's is partiers, hedonists, wiry physicality, knowing how to connect with people, understanding the psychology of the opposite sex, being gallant and well-mannered versus barbaric and impulsive, on the make, unscrupulous gamesters in the war of the sexes. It's like, after this, I like looked again to see when this book was published. It was 2004. So I think like sex and gender politics have definitely gotten a lot more complicated since just like the understanding the psychology of the opposite sex, which I feel like now can be like a lot, there can be a lot more angles thinking of that with like queerness and stuff. But then also I think even, I feel like there is like some sort of like masculinity and femininity, like an understanding, like there's like a psychology to both. And sometimes I think it could be overcomplicated being like, oh, why isn't he texting me back? It's like, cause he's just being a dude and he's quiet, like just, you know, like understanding like little things like that. Morally self-justifying, encountering chaotic situations with aplomb, thinking on one's feet, like quick thinking again, jumping on opportunities versus being blindsided by unpleasant surprises. So, right, this quickness could be like this great thing where you just like jump on and you're fast friends and it's great, but you can also, the quickness can go negative just as fast. Yeah, it's like, oh, you're on this date. Oh, they're married. Oh, like whatever else. Oh, they stole your credit card or something. Like, it says, finessing awkward social missteps, self-confidence, and chutzpah. Right. So I'm just picturing that running man and the astrolabium planum here, but maybe dressed really, really colorfully or something. Okay. John Sambuck, Chandra symbols, a beautiful, erotic, fat woman eating chocolates, approval of desire, acceptance of cravings, unabashed self-indulgence, feelings of the id. Wow. This is interesting because even like Goldsmith has said a wiry physicality, and this is the opposite. This is like a big, soft, sexy woman, but large, not wiry at all. And I just, you know, I don't picture a big, beautiful, fat woman eating chocolates while running. I picture her like lounging, you know, on a fainting sofa or something. Okay. Elias Lonsdale, Inside Degrees, a beautiful, erotic, fat woman eating chocolates. And it says, obsession of images with what is desirable and undesirable. External proof, external props, external projection. So blown up, pressurized, dramatic, so total that it becomes an inversion. Now I'm thinking that like a binging and purging or like yo-yo diets and this sort of, instead of like a steady diet being like this fast changes or pivots of like how you're treating yourself. But then also, this is just interesting because it's just so opposite from the fast, wiry person is a lounging, erotic, fat woman. It says, but I guess they both have erotic implications there. Predicaments and dilemmas that are impossible and gross, tearing the world apart from the absolute ideal to the abysmal norm. Interesting. Very interesting. The Hyperion symbol by Gavin McClung, it says Capricorn 12, or the 12th degree of Capricorn, is an airplane at the edge of the atmosphere. Despite provision of all equipment conceivably needed to perform a given task, the conditions surrounding its accomplishment can change to the point where new tools or talents must be brought into play for success to be possible. Keyword, limitation. Placement of a boundary that may not be crossed, that which is enclosed or the utmost extent of it. Well, that's interesting. I mean, there's the airplane at the edge of an atmosphere. I mean, that's like a fast moving, I don't know if it is an airplane a vehicle. I guess it sort of is. It's a fast moving craft. But then there's this limit, like there's just like the person getting like caught and they're getting chased away from something or they're excommunicated. There's some limit to that trajectory and that speed, I guess. I don't know, a little far afield. That's all we have for the imagery of this degree. So we have no major fixed stars, no Alphonse the Wise, and no hidden secret in the dress of the stars for this degree. But there are prominent people with their planets at this degree. So let's go through it. We have Sun. Okay, the first person is Paul Revere, right? Okay, every American kid who went to public school or any school, I think, knows the story of Paul Revere, right? He was fast. He was he was American Revolutionary guy living in Boston or Massachusetts around there, and he watched for the signal to see if the British are coming, right? One if by land, two if by sea. When he saw the lantern, he rode really, really quick through the moonlight, right, at night, saying, "The British are coming, the British are coming." So I love that his identity through history is being the guy that was really fast and told everybody. I'm sure there's a lot more to his biography, but I think I just know he was like a silversmith. I don't know much more about him other than that. We also have Jim Baker, who is a televangelist ruined by an affair. And then he went to jail. So someone who was fast in bed, used people, right, and then had consequences. And then we have Dax Shepard, Pierre Jovanovic, Ian Brady, Cuba Gooding Jr., Paz Vega, Tay Diggs, Shelley Henning, and William Haynes. So William Haynes is someone that I found that is really interesting. He was an American actor and interior designer. He, in the 1920s, he was like a successful actor in Hollywood. He had a big box office draw. But in the 1930s, the studio system like basically fired him, or he was getting pressure by the studios to like be, to live closeted. Cause he was a homosexual. He wanted to live openly. And the studios were like, no, you have to have a sham marriage or whatever they were saying. And so he just quit acting in 1935. And then he started a successful interior design business with his life partner, Jimmy Shields. And he worked all his Hollywood movie star friends patronized him, and he lived like a long and happy life. And he lived with that same partner from 1926 to his death in the 1970s. So there's something interesting about that, having to run from judgment and being exiled from Hollywood in a sense, or exiled from the studio system of Hollywood. But that not necessarily being this thing that is like horrible for him or life ending. He was actually like, well, I need to run away from this because the love of my life and, you know, my identity as a gay man or whatever, it's just more important than this other like older conservative way of looking at things, right? There's sort of this new, just thinking of like the lecturing on natural wonders and being like, well, you know, I can learn something else. I don't just have to act. I can then study another field of like aesthetic beauty and pursue that. And I just had to repeat, I have to repeat this quote because I think it's great. He said, I would rather have taste than love or money, which is a great quote, even though he had a lifelong love of his life. So he's obviously being a little sassy there. Okay. And we also have Barry Morris Goldwater, who was an American politician, statesman, businessman, United States Air Force officer, an author, and a 5-term senator from Arizona. He was the Republican Party nominee for the President of the United States in 1964. And Goldwater is the politician most often credited with having sparked the resurgence of the American conservative political movement in the 1960s, which then laid way for the Reagan Revolution in the 80s. So that is another interesting person of because there was this talk of like different hierarchies, aristocracies, information that challenges different ways of looking at things. I feel like the conservative movement of like the mid to late 20th century was very like reactionary against the, you know, cultural revolution of the 60s. That's some food for thought. We have Heather Christie, whose son is here, who is known for being in a relationship with Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I just think that that's, I think like he has like this biography and he just like kind of brags about how many people he slept with. So I feel like there's this like someone who is fast in bed or uses other people, who knows, but you know, the fast living of the rock and roll, like girlfriend or ex-wife or whatever. Okay. Moving on to Moon in Detriment, Moon, which is in detriment in Capricorn, in its exile. And we have Jane Russell, who is a sexy movie star, old-time movie star. We have Ava LaJeline, an actor who started the New York City Repertory Company. We have Mia Farrow, who is interesting. She's definitely a wiry person. Ozzy Osbourne, Richard Pryor, Sarah Silverman. Also Lars von Trier, I think in the last degree, like Uranus just went direct on his sun right now, and Venus is going direct on his moon. So I hope this means something good creatively will come from his transits. I'm a big fan of his movie. I talked about him in Taurus 11. Also, Alan Alexander Milne, also known as A.A. Milne, who wrote Winnie the Pooh. And so he was a writer who based a story about he had a son who was named Christopher Robin, and he wrote stories about him and was inspired by his stuffed animals. Like, he had a stuffed animal like Pooh and Piglet, Eeyore, and he had all these stuffed animals, and he made that into Winnie the Pooh. I think it's interesting, too, because Venus is going direct right on his moon, and it's a really sweet, sweet story. I feel like there's something melancholic about a lot of it. It's like, oh, bother, and he got stuck, and there's Eeyore is sad, and there's something just really sweet and sad about it, which has that Capricorn moon thing that is still nice, but it's, you know, it's a little bit like, oh, shucks. And recently, Winnie the Pooh has gone into public domain, so Venus Direct, the art is now available for, you know, anyone to use, the art and the story. And, oh, also a fun fact, when he was a kid, one of his teachers was H.G. Wells at a little school in England. So that's interesting. Okay. Also, who else has a moon here? Bianca Jagger, one of Mick Jagger's daughters, I think, probably a fast living type of girl. I have no idea. I have no idea what she's like at all, but my guess. And we have Kate Chopin. She was born Catherine O'Flannery, lived from 1850 to 1904. And she was a Creole writer. And she was a forerunner of American 20th century feminist authors, such as Zelda Fitzgerald. So that's an interesting person. I've never heard of her. I might have to pick up one of her short stories. Also, Debbie Allen, who is an 80s TV show star. She was in the show TV show version of Fame, choreographer and actor. Also, Joe Louis, who is a huge, you know, famous a professional boxer who competed from like 1934 to 1951. I always, you know, for athletes, I like looking at where their Mars is, and I love looking at where their moon is, because that has so much to do with the body, especially if you're a boxer. It's like where your body is how the condition or quality of your body. Like, so he was fast, right? He was a fast runner. But also smart and quick and strategic, I would assume. I don't know anything about boxing, but he was widely regarded as one of the greatest and influential boxers of all time. He reigned as the world heavyweight champion from 1937 until 1949, victorious in 25 consecutive title defenses, a record for all weight classes, longest single reign as champion of any boxer in history. And his cultural impact was felt outside the ring. He was widely regarded as the first African-American person to achieve a status of a nationwide hero. And he was a focal point of anti-Nazi sentiment. Just thinking of, like, similar to Jesse Owens, where, you know, Americans could cheer for a black person saying, hey, you know, we're not, you know, maybe we're racist and fucked up, but, you know, we at least can cheer for somebody who's a symbol of us, including other, including races, you know, all races. But anyway, even if it wasn't reality, but people could at least get the idea of it. And he was also instrumental in integrating the game of golf. He broke the sport's color barrier in America by appearing under a sponsor's exemption in a PGA event in 1952. So there would be no Tiger Woods without Joe Louis. That's great. Okay, who else? Olga Baklanova, who is a Russian actress, opera singer, and ballerina. So it's another one who very physical, must be quick on her feet. And she achieved prominence during the silent film era, and her nickname was the Russian Tigress. So probably lots of sex appeal as well. And James Buchanan Jr., who was the 15th president of the United States. And there's a really great episode of the podcast Bad Gays about James Buchanan Jr., who is almost certainly gay. So there seems like there's a, this whole thing of being on the run, being fast, having some sort of secret moonlit encounters with people seems like one of the possible narratives of this degree has to do with this like illicit sexual connections. And then that could also, you know, often in the 20th century would illicit sexual connections might be, you know, queer or homosexual. So, and then 19th century James Buchanan, you know, it starts to be like, well, what's the definition of queer back then? And it's like a total different ball game. So you can't really project. Anyway, let's move on to Mercury. And who is the 12th degree of Capricorn? Who is Mercury here? The most famous person with this Mercury here is Joseph Stalin. So if you think of how he used people in his cabinet or his party or the Communist Party, and then, you know, just disposed of them, erased them from pictures, had them assassinated, also excommunicated into Siberia through gulags, you know, had them just spirited away in the night, right? Also, I was just thinking of this quote from Winston Churchill, where right before World War II, or in the beginning of England's World War II, he said, "I cannot forecast to you the action of Russia. It is a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. But perhaps there is a key. That key is Russian national interest." And I think that's interesting to think that, you know, Stalin was the leader of Russia at the time, and Mercury is that quick messenger god, right? And this thing about leader, there's mentions in the symbolism about leadership and knowing how to position people, but also this like very subtle leadership, right? You don't really, it's not like a Leo in charge where they're performing everything and they're, or Gemini in charge, like Trump, like rattling off his mouth about every kind of thought he's having. But this Mercury has this very Saturnian, clever, strategic, it's fast, but it's like behind this like brick wall of impenetrable riddles, right? Anyway, there's probably a lot more to say there. Also with this Mercury is Pope Francis. Someone with the literal power of excommunication. I don't know if he's excommunicated anybody. I don't know if that happens anymore really, but and also Mercury here is Angela Davis. So, you know, political activist, philosopher, academic scholar. But importantly, she writes books on like class and race and feminism, but these hierarchies and sort of she's an academic who challenges hierarchies. So, and she has a very authoritative leadership about her that I would even say has like a little bit of a regalness, right? There's a little bit, that whole thing of like, there's a little bit of a royalty, a lost royalty, that it was described in these degree images. And that whole thing, I think it was in the Cherubel description of, you may be owed a huge inheritance, but someone else is using it. And to think of, you know, Angela Davis is, you know, a Black American, African American, is like owed reparations, is owed a chunk of the American dream that has been withheld by all sorts of systemic things. But also she would talk about or write and study the U.S. prison system. And to think of that running away from getting caught, getting in trouble, and that being, you know, something she's sort of interrogating with her academic research as analyzing who are we chasing down, you know, who are we exiling, who are we putting in prison? And here's a quote from her. It says, "Prisons do not disappear social problems. They disappear human beings. Homelessness, unemployment, drug addiction, mental illness, and illiteracy are only a few of the problems that disappear from public view when the human beings contending with them are relegated to cages." Whew, this is a good one. A good quote. Very true. Okay, we have Jewel the rapper, just to transition to some entertainers. Bridget Fonda, the actor, Aaliyah. So to think of her a singer, the Mercury, her voice, and she had such a beautiful voice, also died young. Mercury has a signification. She was a sort of like royal, like really powerful singer. Also thinking of her, like that hit she had with Are You That Somebody is like about an illicit sexual encounter at night, which I feel like has sort of connections with this degree. And also Etta James, another singer, who sang stuff like, sang tons of songs in like the 50s. But then she faced another number. She was a hit in the 50s, had all these hit songs. But then she faced another number of personal problems, including heroin addiction, physical abuse, incarceration. But then she made a comeback in the 80s. So that thing of being like exiled from her career path and imprisoned and then brought back around victoriously. Okay, Venus at the 12th degree of Capricorn. We have Frank Sinatra. So here we have another singer. And it's interesting, this Venus is on Mia Farrow's moon. So an interesting synastry connection there. Venus and also Frank Sinatra, like a ladies' man, right? He's a quick, fast talker, quick mover, right? He'd like love him and leave him. And another ladies' man, John F. Kennedy Jr. I don't know how much he was, not the original, but the junior. I don't know if he was quite as much of a ladies' man as Frank Sinatra in the negative sense. Maybe I don't know if JFK Jr. is probably not as. He wasn't cruel. Like, there was a thing about, like, the cruelty of disposing of people, and I think that Frank Sinatra and the misogyny of the Rat Pack, although I'm, like, in general a fan, I have, like, a, you know, understanding that back in the day it was not so nice to be on the receiving end sometimes of that. But, okay, we also have January Jones, the actress, has her Venus here, this sort of icy blonde Venus, Saturn-ruled Venus, and Rock Hudson. So here we have another closeted Hollywood heartthrob. William Haynes, who decided not to be closeted, right? But here's a kind of tragic other side of that, of someone who couldn't help but sort of want to keep it under wraps. And he was a leading man. He held on to his career, but then had to sort of exile his personal life in a sense and keep that under wraps. And we have Abhishek Amitabh Bachchan, who's an Indian actor and a film producer known in Bollywood. We also have Margot Louise Hemingway, who was a model and actress big in the mid-70s. She was the daughter of Ernest Hemingway. She was the granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway's eldest son was Jack Hemingway, and then Jack Hemingway had three daughters. Margot, whose Venus is right here, and then also one of her sisters was, I don't think I wrote it down, but it was the chick in Manhattan, that movie, right, with Woody Allen. And then they had a third sister. And interestingly, she was, she had a variety of disorders beginning in her teenage years, including alcoholism, depression, bulimia, epilepsy. And then with her permission, there was a video recording made of her therapy session related to bulimia. And that was broadcast on television. And that was a huge deal of sort of this, her being open about those troubles, and probably out of the intention to help other young women who have these problems to feel less alone, right? And I think that's really interesting because the Chandra symbol has that beauty eating chocolates. And although Margot Hemingway was quite thin, that sort of binge and purge bulimia thing came up, which is something I thought of and kind of forgot, and then that popped up as a biographical detail. Okay, we also have Ernest Borgnine, who is a actor in the 1950s, and Emily Pereire, who was one of the he was a financier and infrastructure builder during Napoleon's time. And he was sort of like level of the Rothschilds, like another sort of financial family of Europe. And they built a lot of beautiful landmarks in Paris. So I like there was like a list of buildings they built, and like one of them was like a transit station. So I love that, of like fast, being like fast and going fast, but also that Venus in Capricorn of like building things of lasting beauty. In that the tarot card, the Three of Pentacles in this, which is like this Deccan's tarot card, is like people cooperating and building a church together. So, you know, here we have someone, although he's Jewish, you know, but in France, building a European architectural masterpiece. Also with this, with Venus at the 12th degree of Capricorn, is Ben Stein, who is most famous for being in Ferris Bueller's Day Off and just repeating Bueller, Bueller. So he has this like dull comedic aesthetic that I think is another great, like there's, you know, someone like Rock Hudson, who's, you know, kind of chiseled, and or Frank Sinatra, like handsome and perfect bone structure. But then there's also the more personality, like Saturnian, not necessarily tall, dark, and handsome, but the authority figure at your high school who's really boring. Dorothy Dix also has her Venus here, who is a columnist and journalist who wrote advice columns. She lived from 1861 to 1951. She was the highest paid and most widely read female journalist at the time of her death. She gave advice on marriage that was syndicated on newspapers around the world, and an estimated audience of 60 million readers. She, in addition to her journalistic work, she campaigned for women's suffrage and the ratification of the 19th Amendments into the U.S. Constitution. So that's interesting, of like, I mean, she must be quick-witted as a writer, but then also kind of talking about the socially acceptable shoulds and should nots in relationships and sort of that those there was that in the Hyperion symbol, there was the that idea of boundaries of like, I'm just picturing like running to the boundaries or these things where there's like this illicit relationships and I'm picturing like people writing in and saying like, is this okay? Is this illicit? Is this wrong? Or how do I solve this thing that I think is wrong? Anyway, okay, moving on to Mars. Mars, which is exalted here in Capricorn. So we have Leo Tolstoy. That's a great one. Alan Watts, James Madison, Amber Heard, Edward Casey, Ewan McGregor, P.J. Harvey, Roberto Benigni, and we have Charlotte Marie Pomeleon Casaraghi, which I probably butchered. But she is I think she's a descendant of the grandchild of Grace Kelly, and is, you know, from Monaco and is a model socialite. So I think that's interesting. Like, again, the Margot Louise Hemingway, like a little bit of royalty in them, right? These beautiful, beautiful people with a little slice of something special, something aristocratic. Also, Gia Marie Carangi, who's also a Gia, which is also another supermodel from the 80s, who became addicted to heroin and died of AIDS, and Angelina Jolie played her in a movie. Also, Witold Robin Lutowski, who is a Polish composer, had his Mars here as well. Okay, the Jupiter here is in fall. We have Jean-Michel Basquiat, which I think in a sense, like, his career was huge and important, but then, you know, sort of ended too soon, right? Maybe just kind of that Jupiter and fall, like the expansion, like the bubble burst. He grew too much too fast. Also Luke Hemmings, who was in a rock band, 5 Seconds of Summer. Also, Stephen Forrest has his Jupiter here, and he had this speech he put out when Jupiter went into Capricorn a few years ago, like 2 years ago maybe, and he had a great speech on Jupiter and Capricorn, so it makes sense that it's in his natal chart. Also, have Jack Lemmon, who I absolutely adore. He's probably one of my favorite actors. He's in like The Odd Couple and the movie The Apartment. He has a Pluto in Cancer right on the ascendant. It's just like so sweet, and it just like leads with his like really intense emotions, but he just seems like such a normal guy. But it makes sense that his Jupiter would be in fall, because one reason I like him as an actor is he doesn't seem special. He seems normal, and he can play roles that seem more relatable. Carmelo Anthony has his Jupiter here, an NBA basketball star. So Gerald Ford. So I can't help but think that. So Ford presided over the worst economy in the 4 decades since the Great Depression, right? In the 1970s. I mean, now the economy is much worse. But there was inflation and recession. He also controversially granted a presidential pardon to Richard Nixon for his role in Watergate, being like, let's be done with this. Let's not prosecute this. But, you know, giving like that sort of there's that signification for this degree that someone could be running from the law or running from justice. And he granted leniency. Jupiter is here. He says, let bygones be bygones. Yeah, maybe Richard Nixon should have, you know, been put on trial. Also, we have Ten, who's a singer, and Claus Barbie, who is a infamous Nazi who escaped to Bolivia. He tortured people. He tortured members of the French Resistance. He was in Jews of. I was, of course, but yeah, he tortured anyone he could get his hands on. Then he escaped to Bolivia. The U.S. of course helped him escape to Bolivia, put him in Bolivia to stamp out Marxist efforts. And then finally they found him. He was extradited, but this think of exile. He escaped justice. I mean, you could think of somebody running away from an unjust sentence, but also somebody could run away from a just sentence that they really, I'm thinking of like, men, right? There's the whole thing of indiscreet sexual encounters, right? That's a part of this degree. I'm thinking of like men who are avoiding responsibility of like child support, right? I mean, that's like more relatable than, or more common than this Nazi who's escaping, you know, sort of justice for genocide and torture and the horrors of World War II and the Holocaust. But I think that's a really interesting case. Also, with Jupiter and his fall at this degree, is Lee Strasberg, who is one of the most preeminent acting teachers of the 20th century, right? And he was an actor, director, teacher, theater practitioner, known as the father of method acting in America. So, you know, there's a handful of people who could be credited with this, but he was one of the, you know, people on the short list of very important method actor teachers. And to think about that Jupiter as this ritual and theatricality, but Jupiter here is in Capricorn. So there's this need for realism and this need for some grittiness. So like method actors will, you know, starve themselves to look famished for a part, or go take some strange job, or live the life of a lumberjack if they need to act that way or whatever, you know. So that realism, that gritty realism. Also, with a Jupiter infall here, is at this degree, is Robert Capa, who was a Hungarian-American war photographer and photojournalist. You have most certainly seen his work. You can just Google image Robert Capa. His most famous photo was a Death of a Loyalist Soldier. It's a man getting shot on a hill in Spain during the Spanish Revolution, or the Spanish Civil War, rather. And he risked his life. He was the only, all the time for his work, he was the only civilian photographer on Omaha Beach and D-Day. Also some really amazing photos from that. And he, over the course of World War II, he was in London, North Africa, Italy. He documented the liberation of Paris. And his friends and colleagues included Ernest Hemingway, Irwin Shaw, John Steinbeck, and the director John Huston. And a quote from him is, "If your pictures aren't good enough, you aren't close enough." So that's interesting. Okay, Saturn in domicile here, 12th degree of Capricorn. And so we have a list of hunky movie stars. We have Hugh Grant. Always, he plays like rakish, dishonorable characters, right? And he even had his own real life sex scandal. He's like a lovable scoundrel. We also Colin Firth, Steve McQueen, thinking of The Great Escape or the escaping from prison, right? Or he was in the movie Bullet, which is like the first really amazing car chase scene. So thinking of Paul Revere and his Midnight Ride racing through the streets, you know, but then also one of the first amazing car chases as this fast person, which that's great. We have Clark Gable as well. So in so many classic Hollywood movies, and he also kind of like a rakish, dishonorable guy. I think Steve McQueen's could sort of maybe some of his, some of his characters could be, could be characterized that way. And we also have Louis the 16th of France, Louis Armstrong, the jazz, trumpet player. And we have John Astin and Carolyn Jones, who is Gomez Adams and Morticia Adams on the 60s TV show The Addams Family. So I think one interesting thing about that show is it was like always a joke that they would, kiss each other and be in love and show like affection, and that being somehow irregular for a sitcom, and that, and they're weird. We have Lisa Vanderpump from Vanderpump Rules, and she's a restaurant person, and we also have André Malraux, who is a French novelist, art theorist, minister of cultural affairs. We have Stephen Sondheim, who recently passed away, definitely, I think this was close to his son, and definitely has a lot of a very quick and noble mind. His lyrics were very hard to sing. You have to be very skilled to sing them. We have Jean Dubuffet, the painter, Harvey Milk, the first gay politician. So here we have another sort of, I don't know if this one quite counts. I don't know how much there is. I don't know. He's another sort of controversy with, I just thought of this, but this idea of like conservatives in decades past, and maybe even now, will say like, oh, being gay is not natural. And right, all that like natural imagery of like the nature slideshow. And this being like a rebuke against that, being like, actually, it's perfectly natural, or something like, according to my research, there's plenty of this in nature, and here I am in nature, and I'm, anyway. Okay, moving on to Uranus. So we have Shailene Woodley. She's an actress in Fault of Our Stars, Big Little Lies, and she has a Uranus North Node conjunction, so very Uranian here at this degree. We have Gabby Hanna, who is a singer-songwriter, internet personality. And we have Anton Bruckner, who is an Austrian composer in the 19th century. And we also have, this one's great, an architect. We have Oscar Niemeyer, who is a Brazilian architect, one of the key figures in the development of modern architecture. He helped design the civic buildings, or he was the designer for the civic buildings in Brasilia, a planned city that became Brazil's capital. And he collaborated on the headquarters of the United Nations. He explored aesthetic possibilities of reinforced concrete. How Saturn in Capricorn is that? I mean, any architect is like, where is their Saturn? It's a built structure. It's really important. But like the modernist, very square, very geometric, very rational, very utilitarian. But he was one of the best at it, right? So that's interesting. We have W.H. Auden, who was a poet, a British American poet, And I just picked up this quote, if the wolves will get you, if the moths won't, which I like. Also, Saturn here, Rosalind Russell, who is in a lot of classic movies, including His Girl Friday. So a woman with authority that can't be challenged or can't be argued down, but also very quick talker, very quick, wiry thinker, and physically just that slapstick, a very quick person. And then we have Caesar Julio Romero Jr., who was an actor who played a lot of Latin lovers, historical figures in costume dramas. But he was also well known as the Joker on the Batman television series in the 1960s. So here we have another actor who Romero never married, had no children, made frequent appearances with escorting beautiful actresses. It was always described as a confirmed bachelor, and many Hollywood historians have speculated that he was being closeted about his sexuality. And James Boswell, who was a Restoration era writer who chronicled sexual adventures. Okay, moving on to, oh, these were all Uranus. So I said Rosalind Russell had Saturn here, but she had Uranus here. So she had that firebrand. So that interpretation is a little off. And Oscar Niemeyer. Okay, anyway. Neptune. We have Taylor Swift, G-Eazy, Elizabeth Olsen, Lucy Hale, and Mitski. On Pluto, we have François René Vicomte de Chateaubriand, who was a French writer, politician, diplomat, and historian, who had a notable influence on French literature of the 19th century. He was descended from an old aristocratic family from Brittany. And he saw himself as the greatest lover, greatest writer, and the greatest philosopher of his age. So quite arrogant. Also, Andrew Jackson, who was the 7th president of the United States, and is still hugely influential in American politics, was sort of this game changer of this next level of Jeffersonian politics. I think most infamously known as an instigator of the Trail of Tears, which is a horrible genocidal relocation of Southern Native Americans to Oklahoma. He was also pro-slavery, but there is something about Andrew Jackson that's still relevant today. He believed in the ability of people to arrive at right conclusions, and that they had the right to not only elect people, but to instruct their agents and representatives, and that office holders should either obey the popular will or resign. So I think I agree with that. And to think about, the people who elected him were probably pro-slavery, right? So he was sort of honoring democracy by representing those people, right? Even though they're honoring something that we don't like. I think that there's something really interesting about this idea of, Andrew Jackson was against the Electoral College, which I think should be abolished. And it was definitely... there's definitely people who want to take votes away from people they don't agree with, right? And, that's kind of a big problem right now. I can't even get into that really. But Andrew Jackson, very interesting person. Pluto here, very powerful, explosive nuclear energy around this symbolism. We also have Charlotte Corday, who was executed by guillotine for the assassination of Jacobin leader Jean-Paul Marat, who was in that event was depicted in a very famous painting called The Death of Marat by Jacques-Louis David. So she was given the nickname Angel of Assassination. So someone who was imprisoned, they chased after her, they caught her, and they executed her. Joachim Murat, also another French revolutionary person, this guy was a military commander who served in the French Revolutionary War and the Napoleonic War. He was the brother-in-law of Napoleon, so he married Napoleon's sister. And Napoleon said that he was exceptionally brave in the face of the enemy, a weakling when he was on his own, a braggart dressed in gold and feathers, and continually escaping as by miracle, and admired by the Cossacks for his bravery. So this idea of escaping by miracle, the quickness. I think eventually he was caught in a battle by Italy or one of the something pre-Italy, somewhere in Italy, and executed. Pope Sixtus V also had his Pluto here. So 1521 to 1590, that's when he lived, and he rooted out corruption and lawlessness, and his foreign policy was regarded as overambitious, excommunicated Queen Elizabeth I of England and King Henry IV of France, recognized as a significant figure in the Counter-Reformation. Okay, North note here. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Interesting, he has some synastry with his son, JFK Jr. Also, Pharrell Williams, Shailene Woodley, as I mentioned before, who has Uranus here, Adrian Brody, another Hollywood heartthrob, and Burt Reynolds, David Blaine, who's a very sexy and mysterious magician. And the ascendant, here we have another Hollywood heartthrob, Richard Gere. I have Kiefer Sutherland, Prince Harry, Duke of Sussex. So Prince Harry, who's an aristocrat, who's also challenging the order of how the British family is being run, right? And he is a prince, and he sort of should have this royal, I don't know, inheritance or birthright, but he's challenged them, and now it's taken away. He doesn't have it anymore, whether he sort of renounced it or whatever. We also have Trent Reznor, Joanne Woodward, Catherine Deneuve, and Niccolo Machiavelli. So that's all I've got for you for the 12th degree of Capricorn. Venus is now direct, and have a good one. See you next time around.